This is Method Man of the Mighty Wu-Tang Clan. Chilling. Jalen and Jacoby, man. They gave these dudes a show.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, dog?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together we're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
So excited for the show today. We have a very special guest coming later. Who is that, Mr. Rose?
Allen Houston. And we talk about people that got buckets, smooth stroke in college, whether at Tennessee, in the league, playing for the Pistons, balling out for the Knicks, kept a fresh cut, helped lead them to the NBA Finals. He's going to be joining us today. I'm telling you, Jacoby, Allen Houston was a nightmare to guard mid-range, and he's going to be on the show a little bit later.
Excited to have him later, and right now we start with something that I just need to talk to you about this. One of those stories, like, I need to get Jalen's take on this because it makes no sense. Remember when we first heard that Giannis didn't have access to a hoop, so he wasn't playing basketball, which is absolutely insane to me. With all the resources in the world, you can socially distance and still play basketball. The latest is that Jason Tatum said that he also has not played basketball during the quarantine, and he said there's more important things going on in the world. Yes, there are more important things going on in the world, but you're also awake for about 16 hours a day. And if I got paid millions of dollars to play basketball, I would be playing basketball. Matter of fact, if they didn't take the hoops down at the local park, I would be getting some shots up by myself and social distancing. Jalen, make this make sense to me. Why has Jason Tatum not taken, I don't know, a couple jump shots to get ready for when the NBA comes back?
DMX once said to his homie, "Yo, get in. You drive. What you doing, ninja? Trying to stay alive." That's what I think about Jason Tatum. That's what I think about the Greek Freak, Jacoby. There's a pandemic happening in the United States of America. And I know you say they can social distance and all of that. Jason Tatum's on a rookie deal. He doesn't have that mansion money like you saw Chauncey Billups playing horse just yet. He hasn't gotten maxed out like Mike Conley just yet. And you know where he plays, where the cost of living is more expensive than almost anywhere? Boston. I don't have to tell you because you grew up in Massachusetts. He's probably living in an apartment. The gym is closed. The weight room is closed. The pool is closed. And he's literally in his apartment, can't play basketball.
Jalen, if you were in the NBA and you were under these conditions, would you be playing basketball getting ready for the upcoming season to return?
I would, yes. I would find a way in the backyard somewhere. I would be playing at somebody's home gym, no doubt about it. But again, you can't underestimate how I started this. You've seen those numbers, Jacoby, of the people that have contracted the coronavirus, the number of deaths. We're still socially distancing. We're still basically trying to figure out if we're going to be able to find a vaccine for this cure. So I don't necessarily frown upon players that feel like they just want to stay home, because that's what we're being advised to do, Jacoby. Unlike Dak Prescott, they seem to be listening.
Of course. Now, I would say that I've been following all of the guidelines of mitigation, but I would still be able to get some shots up if I was an NBA player. Because I look to get some shots up as a regular dude, but they literally took the hoops
are you
down
shots
the
up
court
now?
Around my house.
Are you shots
they
up now?
Literally,
you love
you're
the
not
game.
Listening to me. You're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. You're going to stop talking and start listening, because they literally took the hoops down. All around New York City, you go to any basketball court, there are no hoops, and it's for a very good reason. But man, I would love to get some shots up just to kill an hour without the kids around. Moving on. Jalen, the NFL draft is going to be like no previous NFL draft in the history of the league. It's going to be a virtual NFL draft where the teams that are going to draft these players didn't really have the access they normally get to them. And Dave Gettleman, the Giants general manager, had this to say about it. He said, quote, "We're losing the personal touch points. We have the visual touch point, but we're really missing out on the personal touch point when you can smell or feel a guy." Jalen Rose, what sort of scent do you look for in an NFL prospect?
So let me translate this to layman's terms. You're doing this as your livelihood. It's a really important decision, and it's a part of a bigger puzzle because you're hoping to bring in somebody that's going to contribute and in a lot of times be the best player or the game changer, depending on how you draft. And so think about your own life. And I want to ask you a couple of questions, Jacoby, before I get to my conclusion. Would you buy a couple of these things without seeing them in person? A house?
I'm imagining there's oh, no. Oh, no, never.
Right? Never. What about a car? Would you buy a car without getting in it?
Probably not. You know what? A car I actually want to smell. That's not fair because I actually do want to smell the car.
There you go.
The scent of the car is more important than the scent of the left tackle. But still, Jalen, I'm going to expose you. Me and you, we're sitting at a sushi spot watching Julius Randle play on the Lakers. And what did you have to say when you were watching Julius Randle play?
I said he has short arms. He's really athletic, and I love that he continues to attack the hoop. He has an underrated handle. But I also said to you, and I know we've outgrown the pause days, and, you know, when you grow up in an athletic environment the way I did, like you're taking showers with your teammates.
Tell the people what you said.
You were very young. And basically, if I'm going to take a prospect really high and it was really important to me, there's a reason why when you go to a boxing match, when they get on the scale, they're in briefs. So that's what kind of I would want to see from my prospect. And you're going to think I'm tripping, but sometimes they may have flat feet. You know, you may see like a different gait between the hip and the thigh. Like, I don't want to make this like a meat market or anything like that, but when you're evaluating talent, you take everything to account, how long their arms are and all of this kind of stuff. And when you can see everything with briefs on, there's no gray area.
You gave me a very on-wax Jalen Rose answer to that very much off-wax conversation that we had a long time ago. So I'm going to let you move on to some very important news that matters. Now, this is both news that matters and what's your number, because the news that matters is this. There is a gentleman who was expecting his $1,700 stimulus check, and he was checking his account to see if it hit. And when he did check his account, it didn't just hit. It hit for $8 million, something like $8 million. So, Jalen, that's the news that matters. The what's your number is this, is I would report it if someone or something or some organization accidentally sent me $8 million. $7 million I would report it, $6 million I would report it, $5 million I would report it, probably $1 million I would report it. But at what number do you just not mention it to anybody? What number is so low that you do not mention it to anybody, but $1 more you do mention it?
This is really simple to somebody that grew up in poverty. Let me tell you something. When the number of bills that I owe is more than the amount of money I have in my account, when the number of creditors that I have in bills and credit cards and student loans and all of that stuff is not greater than the amount of money that's in my account. So therefore, if I'm him, I'm keeping it. Straight up. I'll worry about it later. And Governor Jalen also has something that should be a part of the stimulus package. If you really want to help the unfortunate, something that you can also do is forgive IRS loans. Forgive government payments. How about that? What do you think about that? Make everyone who has past due taxes or whatever, just erase them. Student loans, just erase them. What do you think about that?
Alan Houston joins us when we come back. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, who is joining us right now?
We have a very special guest, This man mm-hmm. is a gentleman. He's a scholar. He's an executive. He will get buckets with the best of them. I need to do a series for the people that gave me buckets. He would star in it. Okay. Ball for my hometown team, Detroit, star with the Knicks, punch that air when he got the bounce at Miami to send his New York Knickerbockers to the NBA Finals as an AC. Welcome to the program, number 20, Allen Houston.
What's up, man? Appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. We have a lot to discuss with you, but one thing that me and Jalen have been discussing for years in this program is something that you were in the building for, the four-point play from LJ against the Pacers. Jalen still to this day says it wasn't a foul, although the history, the whistle, and the videotape disagree. What do you think about that one play?
Well, you know where I stand on it. You know, it was so there were two plays. Yeah, the funny thing about it is, you know, when you look at the playoffs, I was supposed to come off at the top, and LJ pop, and you stick that hand in there. You know, the whole saying, you stick your hand in the mm-hmm. cookie jar, man. That's what happens, you know? But it was one of two times that I've been in the garden, and it literally felt like the floor of the garden just lifted. Like, I felt like it just lifted off the ground. You know, one of the times was in the finals when Tim Duncan was shooting a free throw. And game five. But that one right there was like, it was just one of those moments where everybody says, I remember that moment in the garden. And, you know, when he made the shot, obviously he realized, now I gotta compose myself and I gotta make this free throw. But, incredible. It was just an incredible moment. You know, I'm sure Jay, you have moments like that where you look back in your career, you remember that one moment, and that was one that will always stick out.
Yeah, that was devastating to be on the other side, no question about it. And you are somebody that has represented the New York Knicks with class for so very long on and off the floor. And they've struggled not only PR-wise, but on the floor to put out a product that is going to be a consistent contender. What is it going to take for the Knicks to be a playoff team again?
Well, I'll say this. When I first came to New York, there had been a foundation, there had been an establishment, and it was firmly rooted. You know, Ryle started it. Jeff picked it up. You had a centerpiece in Patrick Ewing. You already had your key, you know, places with John Starks, Oak, you know, even Mace at the time. So they had established something. So when I got there, things that had kind of the culture, the established, had already been set in place, and it was kind of our job, LJ, Chris Childs. You know, we had a good rookie class my first year coming in. We had to just fall in place. So I think, first of all, it's we know that this is a game, basketball is a game where talent will always lead. But I have a firm belief that when your best players and your most talented players are your best leaders and kind of can set the example, that's really when you have something special. So for me, I just get excited about, you know, our young players that we can just continue to grow and develop and just help them lead, help them understand what it means and take ownership in that process as well. And just find the best situation for players, you know, to be in and help them thrive in knowing what they do best. But I mean, it has to be a collective, you know, effort. I mean, I know that it's been, I'm a fan just as well as I played. I'm in New York. I'm vested. You know, I take ownership. So it's one of those things where everybody wants the same thing and we have to build that.
So I'm going to skip forward a question because there's something, another debate that I need you to settle between Jalen and I, because we have two different picks for this year's MVP if the regular season were to be ended right now. So I want to know, you've been watching a lot of basketball. You know who the two main contenders are. Who do you have right now as your MVP of the regular season in the NBA?
I would say LeBron.
Yes.
You know, I would still say LeBron. You know, it's hard for me to not pick Giannis because you think about it, like one thing you make a judgment is if you take a person off of a team, then what would that team look like? And that's kind of where I'll take, you know, with Giannis, if you take Giannis off their team, what would the team look like? I still think LeBron just has such a winning impact. And, you know, and I think that that's one of the things that I look at. And then at this, I don't know if you can, this can be a qualifying factor in his age, but for me it is, right? Because if you look at, when you play this game, you see how hard it is to play at a certain level consistently in, night in and night out. And all the things that goes on with playing in a place like in LA, like in New York, like those cities, I just think there's a lot of non-physical factors that come into that.
Al, so there was a time where no matter where you went in the league, they had at least one or two guys that were six or above on the wing that would give you buckets. And obviously the best one of all time to do it is MJ. Can you talk about how the game has changed from that standpoint to your primary ball handler in today's game now probably leads the team in shot attempts to go against so many great players, and one of your best memories of going against MJ?
Yeah. I don't know if I have great memories of just going against MJ, but I tell you, you're right. See, when we came into the game, there were defined positions. When you were a point guard, you kind of had a certain size, you had a certain role. You brought the ball up, got the team into an offense, ran your set. I think now there's so many players that can do so many different things, and so now you look at a guy like MJ, where he really didn't have a weakness, you know. He didn't have to dribble the ball much, so he was so efficient. The thing that about MJ that people I think see a little bit more now, he was like a perfect blend between size, athleticism, and fundamental and IQ. You know, really just watching the way he mentally played the game. You know, my daughter plays tennis, and I asked her tennis coach, what's the difference between the best at what they do? And we started having this conversation, and it reminded me of MJ and other greats in that they just pick the little things apart that may be your weakness or things that they can do, and they just open it up into a wide gap. And I think that's what he tried to do. So, you know, you just didn't want to get into that mental battle with him.
So, Jacoby, I got to ask him two more things. It's really important. Number one, I see how the world feels, because I can't front. This is the first time that I've ever seen Allen Houston without a fresh cut. He was one of the people that I always thought I kept a crisp one. Now I see how people feel when they see me. MJ can't be so very fortunate. Tell me your best moment against MJ and or Scottie and the Bulls during that era. Your best moments.
You know, my best moment was probably in the regular season in 97. We beat them, you know, I think three times in that year. And wow. I had a couple games where I got off to a good start. As you know, playing with Reggie, you know, you have to kind of run him off screens. And that was the one way that I kind of would get going when the times that I did. You run him off screens. And, you know, I had about 15 to 16 the first half. And then, obviously, they turned the heat up and they made adjustments. But, you know, I had a couple good games at the Garden. We had a good year. That 96-97 year, we really thought that that was a year that we could beat them. You guys took them to game seven. One year, but that was our best chance. But I think my best moments, honestly, against, you know, them were, I think, in the Dream Team, where we had that eight-man team that played against them in 92, where we had that college select team. And, you know, you guys heard the stories about we were up at the end of a scrimmage the first day, where I think I had like seven threes. And it was really kind of more of us catching them off guard. We were just driving and kicking, and they told us to play more European style, and they just weren't used to that, you know. And so you know, we got going and made a couple moves, and it was fun because C-Web and everybody, we were talking after that. But the next day, we kind of felt like Angola or somebody the next day. So it was, but that was a fun 20 minutes.
Well, this has been a really fun 10 minutes. Really appreciate you joining us here on Jalen and Jacoby. You're welcome to come back anytime. Thank you for these moments and all those great moments you provided. Knicks fans in the garden, forget Detroit. We appreciate you here.
You're such a die easy fan.
You can get more from J&J right after this. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, here we are with some of the news of the day. It's a racer using profanity when he thought he wasn't being recorded and broadcasted. And this is also the day when 73 years ago, Jackie Robinson did something that would change the world of sports forever when he broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. How would you like to celebrate Jackie Robinson on this day?
So, you know, there's a term, I think it was used by Malcolm X, that if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. I've always appreciated gentlemen and ladies that are older than me, that are African-American, and somebody that was born in 1973 that not only endured racism and segregation and overcame bigots and all of the obstacles that they needed to endure in life in order to even participate in sports. Imagine you and I going to do this show, David Jacoby, and I got to drink from a different fountain. I got to eat at a different restaurant. I have to stay at a different hotel, and you're my brother. And so for guys like that to be able to endure, and teammates like that example that I'm giving for you, that still were able to protect him and look out for him and cover him in those situations, I'm so very grateful for his influence. He was an amazing man, and his contributions to sports and to humanity will never be forgotten.
Well put, Mr. Rose. I want to thank Allen Houston for coming through. He is welcome to come back and discuss the four-point play that Larry Johnson scored on Jalen Rose and his Pacers anytime. We'll be back tomorrow. What's that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.